Welcome to Moms Unpacking Autism. I'm Ann and I'm here with my co-host,
Stacy.
And today we are going to talk about what, Stacy?
We're going to talk about the fact that there are no winners or losers in autism world.
Wow, that sounds really interesting.
I got to thinking about this because my son finally finished the requirements for his AA degree, or he will at the end of the semester, but we got to file like the paperwork that said, yay, you know, you're done.
Congratulations.
Oh, it's freaking huge. It's fabulous. Well, it is. It's amazing. It's like, I was expecting fireworks, you know, the earth stopped in its rotation slightly, but it's a big deal.
Yes.
And yet one of my friends said back to me, ah, oh, it's great. He's beating the odds.
Huh.
And which led me to thinking about what it means to use a metaphor about gambling when it has to do with our kids.
Right. What are odds? I mean, like, what are we matching up? What's our yardstick?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also a really unhelpful way to think. Because then you naturally set up this idea that it's a game and that there's a competition involved.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime a parent dealing with somebody on the spectrum starts to think there's a competition, at least for me, it's very destructive and often quite limiting in actually succeeding at the things that we can succeed at.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
You know, I spent the entire week being jealous of your daughter's job.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but my daughter's been in college for 6 years and doesn't have her AA degree. So I'm sitting
mine.
But my daughter's 2 years older than your son.
Oh, right. Well, good point. Good point. We'll be all caught up.
Okay, we're caught up.
So I was thinking that the other part of the kind of the gambling metaphor or the odds metaphor that's problematic is the only way it wins in a contest is if you have a pretty significant number of losers.
Okay.
So when we say our kids are beating the odds, we're tacitly admitting that there are kids that we expect won't.
Right.
And it's a very, I hate the phrase slippery slope, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's a slippery slope to not wishing well on other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're just going to have to band together.
Well, we really are. And that's kind of like taking everybody in the hospital and saying, well, at least I don't have this, or at least you don't have this. And, but you're all in the hospital, you know?
Yes.
And any number of those things could kill someone, you know?
Right, right. And I also think that we're all on much more of a spectrum of ability than is often acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of normal is it's really becoming useless to me the older I get.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure at 16 I knew what normal is. I'm pretty confident here at 54 that I don't.
Yeah, no. Even when people say this is the new normal, I mean, that really falls short. It just clunks. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to love this story. So this is what happened to me this morning, which I think you'll just really enjoy. Okay. So my son comes into the room and says, I need you to get this art supply.
Okay.
And I said, oh, well, let's find out more about it. But, you know, I'm in the middle of taking a class. I can't really talk right now. And he's like, okay, I'll write you a note. So he wrote me a note on a gum wrapper. Okay. This is exactly what I need. It's on the gum wrapper. Now, gum wrapper is paper.
Well, that it is, but oh my gosh.
Right. And then also, I swear to you, I probably said, could you write me a little note?
We found the littlest piece of paper. Good to make your little note. I love it.
Exactly. And so I think we're sitting square in the middle of a society that's going to look at that as like weird. Like if you were in the job market or, you know, if you're in the workplace, you find that to be quote weird.
Uh-huh.
But you know, we all thought like post-it notes were weird.
Well, that's
true. There was a good stretch of time where if you had written a note on a post-it note and given it to somebody, they would have been like, okay.
Are we going to start?
So it's adhesive.
gum wrapper notes.
Yes, which isn't to normalize it, but it is to say that sometimes I think we look for excuses for making one of our kids something really weird when it's basically accomplishing the same thing that was needed.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we needed the note,
right,
in order to convey the information, but the form it took is what I settled on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know,
it was unexpected.
It was unexpected.
I think very cute. And in a way that should be able to stick to you too, since it's gum.
Yeah. So do you have, okay. So here's my metaphor for what I think works better than the gambling.
Okay.
But I don't know if it really holds up. Let's see if you think this works with your daughter.
Okay.
Okay. I think, this is going to sound vaguely offensive, but I think parenting kids on the spectrum is more like having a car that sometimes needs somebody to run beside it to start it up. Mm. Like, it's not quite working and it's going to need a team to get it going again.
Okay.
Like run, and then you jump in the car and it runs for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got to pile out of the car and figure out what's wrong with the car. Now I hate that because it's like, what's wrong,
right,
with the car. Right. But what I'm getting at is, to me, that allows for everybody can have their own car. It doesn't exclude anybody.
So we're not going to compare cars.
We're like not going to compare cars.
Car runs more than that car.
Right. We're going to be like, we would love if the car got from, say, here to McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
How are we going to get the car there?
Uh-huh.
Not, you can't go to McDonald's because my car is the only one that's allowed because of the odds.
Okay.
Right. There's I think we need to work as advocates in a broader sense. So what I've been thinking about is like, I'm so interested to hear what you have to say about this. I've been thinking about like racism,
okay,
and how we need like anti-racists and strong advocates that speak up.
Yeah.
I think we need the same thing for disabilities. I think we need people to stand up and say, no, I don't care if my desk mate has weird habits about writing.
Yeah.
It's important that they're here.
Right. Right. I would agree with that. In fact, if I want to take that metaphor a little farther, where we're running along the side of cars, I'd like to see roads with lanes where people can run along. So there's just for those cars and the people that run alongside of them. Because as it is right now, when we're running alongside of those cars, they're on the regular roads and we're getting run over.
Yes.
And we're getting in accidents and we're getting, you know, it's not good. So, and that goes along with the advocacy for people with disabilities and the people that care for them so that we can run alongside them.
Yes.
World has to be more friendly about this.
I think we need a more flexible world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm tired of this normal business that somehow the definition of normal is what ends up excluding my kid.
I agree. 100%. Because we've talked about this, I think, on the early episodes, how there are so many kids on the spectrum now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more and more are coming up. And our kids were kind of some of the front runners. You know, mm-hmm. we were at the beginning of the curve where more and more kids were being diagnosed.
Yep. And on the where IEPs were really in place, right, and yes, right, establishing disability.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now it seems to be easier and more accepted. But so what's going to happen though? I still don't think that there are going to be roads for these kids 10, 20 years down the pike when they're trying to get into the job market or trying to get through school or trying to figure out assisted living or non-assisted living or anything mm-hmm. else, mm-hmm. what's going to be available to them. I think that we're not moving in that direction fast enough.
Yes. And one of those reasons that we're not is because we have a failure to acknowledge as a society that this affects all of us.
And that's just like racism.
I think so. I think yeah. it has a it has a weight to it that prevents our society from being whole.
Right. Right. So what is it in our society that doesn't want to accept these people as regular members of society? Why do we need to shun them? What is it?
Yeah, why is it so threatening?
Right. Right. I mean, it feels like there's fear. But why can't we look at someone who thinks differently and acts differently and love them and come alongside of them and not, you know, kind of put them in a group of, oh, they're weird and different. And then that's just making their life really hard. And they're
Yeah. And it's, you know, I've certainly had social interactions with people on any and all parts of the human spectrum where I'm wildly uncomfortable and I don't think I should necessarily have to perpetuate a friendship with them, right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm not, and I don't think you are, advocating that, you know, you don't have standards or you don't have boundaries or you don't have places that feel safer to you. But until we begin to acknowledge that we all deal with this, everybody you know is in some way connected to somebody with a disability that's discriminated against because of their disability.
Right.
And pretending otherwise is not helping.
No.
Right.
No, now. It's not. No. And we need such a paradigm shift too, that we don't want pity friendships for them.
Nope.
You know, cause they can see through that in a heartbeat and that doesn't do any good. We need genuine people who are going to love and accept people in their stages of differentness. And there's gotta be people. I think it would start from childhood on, training people to love the kids that are different, you know, cause that's where it all starts. When you're in school and someone's a little weird, you think, and then you start ignoring them or making fun of them. And it just goes from there. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, you've reminded me too, that there's recently my book club, somebody said, oh, well, maybe more of a reason to pick this particular book is because I'm trying to read more books by people of color who've written them. And she put it on the agenda. She put it out there. Right. And I thought to myself, I have never once in book club said, oh, that would be, you know, we should be more inclusive of the writers who maybe have a disability.
Yeah.
I've never said that in a, in a group. And so sometimes advocacy, I think, just comes in the terms of speaking up, which isn't to lecture everybody and all that. I just... I just realized that this can't be just you pushing your kid's car.
Right.
Once again, I'm back to the idea. None of us do this alone.
Right. Right. You know?
Oh, man. And I also think the discomfort is not necessarily the most important part of an interaction. You know, we tend to focus on the discomfort as the part of the story or the thing that made the lasting impression. But often if we can sit in our discomfort for just a few seconds longer than typical, we can have a meaningful, you know, dialogue or exchange.
That's so very true. You're right.
Well, you know, I'm right.
Well, you're always right, Steve. I wouldn't be talking to you if you,
it's
I know we are.
So good that we're always right.
I know, right? And we're sharing this with the world because we're always right. Yes.
Because so if you're not, like, I want you as a grandparent or whatever, I want you to be helping to make the lanes. I want you to be pushing the car with me and not just tolerating Christmas.
No, that's very true. Yeah. Yeah. Or wondering, kind of looking at your child and judging them because they're not going fast enough in their car, or they're not going to the right destination, or why do they drive that way with their foot on the brake?
Just a little note.
Yeah. If you just took your foot off the brake, your car would do much better.
I was thinking about that today also, because as we filed these graduation papers, my stepdad, who's an amazing man, never got a college education.
Wow.
So technically I'm going to have this kid that is often thought of in familial terms as unsuccessful or unable to do things, if I may say so politely.
Right.
We'll have done something.
Yeah. No.
That the neurotypical person in our family has not.
Which leads us right back to, we can't compare. We can't
compare
kids with each other. And we can't compare with the other people. No,
because that is not how his value is determined.
Exactly.
And for both sides, sides of that. And,
right.
And so, yeah, I was kind of, I had a little mom chuckle, you know.
Your little chuckles.
A little chuckle. So today I'm reading.
Yay.
From Anne Lamott, Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith. If you are not familiar with Anne Lamott, we'll put up a link on the our Facebook page. She's a truly reassuring writer about parenting, wouldn't you say?
I love her. She's so real.
and she is a devout Christian, but her books don't read like that. Don't let that scare you.
No.
At all. So this is a chapter called Adolescence, and it's when her son Sam, who's now a full grown human and has a wonderful podcast, was 13, and she had gotten into a fight with him and had dragged him away from a sleepover and told him that he could not get out of the car until he apologized.
Uh-huh.
So that's where we are.
Okay.
So she's laying beneath a log, thinking she's never going to speak to him again, she says. I was still inattentive and I prayed, and eventually some of my anger dissipated. After a while, I heard the car door open. It was as if once things were more peaceful in me, the deer or the bobcat could come out of the thicket to case the joint. I heard his footsteps approach and I sat up. When he came over, he was both deer and bobcat, tentative, dangerous, and teary. He stood a few feet away, looking back at the car. He sighed and began to speak. I'm sorry I was such an asshole, he said. I'd sort of been hoping he'd say something I could report back to my pastor, but I saw how bad he felt, how lonely. Okay, he said. I shook my head and sighed. I'm sorry, I was such an asshole too. He sat down in the dirt and we walked in a stilted, unhappy way. I practiced being right for a while and he was sullen. Then I practiced being kind. And if I could bring that forward into parenting, you know, practiced being kind.
Yeah.
It would go a ways.
So true.
Right.
Oh man.
Can you practice being kind, or is it beyond you right now?
I think I can practice it. But I've got it. I might have to sew my lips shut.
So in a Frankenstein-ish manner.
Yes. Like those dolls. Because, those dolls or the dead people from horror movies.
Yeah.
Because I blurt things out that I think are loving, because they seem to be, if you do this, your car will go faster.
Mm-hmm.
But they just come out as, you rot, you suck, it's just, Yeah, it doesn't come, it never comes out right. Never.
I think that what I'm starting to learn is that when I practice kindness, I say less.
That's
good. I can't be held accountable for that ability. Very naturally quiet. And then what I need is a sign that says, I'm practicing kindness.
Yeah. Because they might interpret your silence as irritation. Yeah. Exactly. How about your facial expressions? Because I think I need a mask over my face.
Yeah. Yeah. What gets me in trouble is my tone of voice. I'm pretty practiced at the neutral, just listening face.
Okay.
My voice goes into a little bit of a lower register. and then everybody knows. Like, there's no hiding. Or if I say, I just need a minute. I just need a minute isn't because I'm contemplating how wonderful life is and I don't want it interrupted.
No.
I just need a minute means I'm contemplating slapping you into tomorrow, or I was wishing I had never chosen to be a parent. They're not small things, I'm thinking.
That one moment.
one minute for reminding my entire existence.
I can picture that one moment and I think, right? Huh.
We were actually
interrupted by a phone call during that one moment and we chose to resume. And sometimes I think, huh?
What do you know?
Yeah.
I guess my last thing to tell you today is I tried hard things.
Okay. And
logged in to the Health and Human Services in our county.
Yep.
Okay. First of all, I did not throw up on the computer.
That's my first thing. That's good. Good.
But I just sat there. I'm like, I'm all red faced. I'm like actually sweaty. I'm like typing. Legit. I'm just typing. It's so stressful. Yeah. So what I learned was I made myself tolerate it for 10 minutes.
All right.
And what I learned was I could be being paid to be a caretaker.
Really?
At this point, which I didn't know.
Oh.
Because I thought we were past that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then I found out that he would need to be registered for Medicaid for that to happen. I realize everybody else has figured this out but me, but I'd seen the walls close into a very certain outcome about whether or not my kid needs to be signed up for Medicaid.
seems
like yes.
Huh.
And, but I don't know. So my next thing to find out is, I don't know if you can sign up for Medicaid if you have insurance.
Okay.
Through a company still.
Right.
I mean, I presume you can, because lots of people on disability have, like when they're little kids, they have parents that have jobs and stuff with benefits.
Yeah. Well, that makes me think.
So anyway, I'll look into it for those of us who are following along, and what can you do with your adult parenting?
Right. Very interesting.
If you're ready to push the car for a minute.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have my husband look into that.
Well, no, it might be.
Yeah. He doesn't get as stressed as I do. So maybe he can look at it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's my thought for today.
That's very interesting. Thank you. That's actually really helpful. Yeah.
So I don't mean to be helpful.
Yes, you do.
I'll be expecting you to paint me a very pretty sign that says, I need a minute.
Do you want me to put a DIY on my YouTube?
Yeah. Do you think I need a moment sounds more elegant?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I need a moment.
Well, I aim to be elegant.
Yeah.
It's like when I sit down and I say, oh, it'd be delightful if somebody brought me a cool beverage.
Yeah.
Like that. I want to be like that.
But, you know, I'm thinking that you need to cross stitch the I need a moment sign. I think that would be more appropriate.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 All right. Sounds good. This was really good, Stacey. As always, I loved it.
Oh, well, and I know we have a couple new listeners, so welcome aboard.
Oh, welcome aboard, new listeners. We love you all. We really appreciate you. And join us on our Facebook page to chat with us, Moms Unpacking Autism. We're available. Stacey is always on there saying clever things. And I give her thumbs up. So, you know, we do our share. So we will see you guys next week. Thanks for watching.
Take care.
Bye-bye.